Yep, I'm just, yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, my cheeks. Thank you, John.
Hello, happy new year, and welcome back to Ticket A42, the Australian theatre industry podcast created in conjunction with AussieTheatre.com. I'm John O'Hara, your host, and each episode I sit down for a chat with one of our country's most successful and interesting professionals for an insightful and fun look into their lives, career, and everything in between their Ticket A42 moment and now. Now, look, speaking of successful and interesting, let me introduce you to our first guest for 2015, and what a way to bring in the new year. My friend Erin James is an Actor Award nominated actress for her role in Josh Lawson's hit film, The Little Death. She's the editor-in-chief of the hugely successful theatre website AussieTheatre.com, which produces Ticket A42. And she is currently in final rehearsals for the new staging of Blood Brothers, opening at the Hayes Theatre from February 6. Welcome, Erin.
Thank you, Johnny.
It's so nice to finally have you on.
Oh, thank you for having me. What a treat.
Yeah, well, look, clearly, you are busy and multi-skilled. And so 2015 has only just kicked off. Your diary is full. It's always full. So, look, why don't we start off by talking about the upcoming production of Blood Brothers that you're in. How are rehearsals coming?
Great. Wonderful. Yeah. It's a really tight rehearsal process because we've only kind of got 3 weeks before we put it up, which is the nature of these kind of shows. But it's been wonderful. We have such a great cast. Blake and Bobby and Helen Fox.
Helen Dellymore.
Oh, my God. I was going to go back and say all of their names in order, but I forgot who I said first. Blake Bowden, Bobby Fox, Helen Dellymore.
Michael Cormick.
Michael Cormick, Chrissy Sullivan, Bronwyn Mulcahy, and it's wonderful. Myself.
If we've missed anyone, we apologise.
Oh, God.
No.
It's been wonderful and hot, albeit in the rehearsal room, but it's coming along really nicely, and we all can't wait to get into the theatre.
And what role do you play in the show?
I'm playing Donna Marie, which is actually kind of a lot of different people in the show. Yep. I kind of come in and out as lots of different characters, which is great. It's really nice to be able to play lots of different people and have lots of different acting challenges within that. Sometimes you'll see me for fleeting moments and then I'm off and I'm back on as somebody else, which is it's exciting actually.
And is it your first time at the Hayes?
Yes, it's my Hayes debut.
I love that we're living in this time where people are making their Hayes debuts. It's awesome and everyone wants to work at the Hayes.
I know. It is. It's so exciting. And when I had the opportunity to do so, I jumped at it. So it's really exciting.
Is the space air conditioned at the Hayes?
I don't think so. That's something that I'm a little worried about. Actually, I have a really small window of comfort for weather. I remember being in Singapore when we were doing Cats over there and I just couldn't handle the heat.
Yes.
My window is sort of 25 to 26 degrees.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's where I'm comfortable.
And I assume in Blood Brothers, because it's set in England, we're wearing coats and scarves and hats. And
it's going to be warm.
Yeah. It's the middle of Australian summer, but that's okay. Yeah. What's the story of Blood Brothers, briefly, for people that don't know?
The story is about two boys in Liverpool who are blood brothers, twins separated at birth, and it's kind of the telling of their eventual friendship when they meet each other and don't necessarily realise that they're actually blood brothers, but, you know, the friendship that they have and the encounters that they have and their story from birth to
adulthood.
Adulthood, yeah.
Yeah, wonderful. And it's being produced by Ender Markey.
Yeah, the wonderful Ender.
Yeah, who's a good friend of yours.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, and so he's doing, like, amazing things and it seems like he's part of this explosion of small-scale music theatre production in Sydney. Would you agree with that?
He's definitely come on board with that. I mean, he has done other stuff. He produced Side by Side by Sondheim a couple of years ago, and then did that wonderful White Ribbon charity concert that he brought out Ruthie Henshaw for at the Capitol, at the Theatre Royal, a couple of years ago, which I had the pleasure of being involved in. And he also produced Do You Hear the People Sing?
Yes.
Which has been touring with epic names, and they did a fundraiser for the typhoon victims in Manila. He's just done some incredible stuff. It's really lovely to be working with him.
Wonderful. So great that he's doing such good things. I saw him last year, at the end of last year, because you guys were workshopping a Stephen Schwartz concert.
The Secret Schwartz,
which is kind of along the lines of Do You Hear People Sing, but with Stephen Schwartz songs.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. So, well done, Endemarkey.
Yeah.
Now, the Actor Awards are coming up. For people that don't know, Actor are the newly named AFI Awards.
Yes.
And Actor stands for the Australian Academy of Cinema and Television Awards. Now, you are nominated for your film debut. You've been nominated for Best Female Actress in a Supporting Role in a Feature Film for Little Death. So let's talk about that for a sec.
Okay.
As I said, it's your film debut. So what was that experience like being on a film set?
Oh my God, I get tongue-tied every time I talk about this.
Yeah.
It's the working on a film set obviously is so different to working in the theatre 8 shows a week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was overwhelming. It was completely overwhelming, actually, kind of walking in to this film set and people talking in terminology that I had no clue what they were saying and what they meant. Like, I'm so used to being in the theatre and I know what all, like, upstage and downstage and all that kind of stuff. I know what that means.
Yes.
And the words that they were using just kind of were going straight over my head. And wonderful Josh Lawson, who wrote and directed and starred in the film, was so great with me because he kind of was able to just sense that I needed a little bit of, this means that, Erin.
Yes.
So he'd sort of tell his orders to the crew or, everyone else on set, and then he'd come up to me and goes, I meant this, which was wonderful. But, I mean, the process was amazing because it was kind of I was only on set for 4 days.
Yes.
And we shot the whole film in 20, I think.
Yes.
So it wasn't a long process as compared to doing like a 14-month run in a musical.
Mm-hmm.
But gosh, it's something I would love to do again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now you worked opposite, because for people that don't know and haven't seen the film, you should definitely see it. Well, it's released on DVD, right?
Yeah.
This month.
The 23rd of January, yeah.
Brilliant. We'll go get it. JB Hi-Fi, I'm sure they've got it. For those of people that don't know, you kind of worked opposite your good friend, because each little story within Little Death is a couple, and your scene partner and couple story was with a wonderful Australian actor who's both of our mate, TJ Power. So tell me about the audition process, which kind of became your audition and his audition, and then you both got the parts. Like, it's a great story.
Yeah, we, funnily enough, TJ called me well before I had seen the script for this movie. He had a casting for it, and it was obviously he needed to learn Auslan because the role, it requires a man to be able to sign and communicate over Skype with an interpreter.
Yeah.
And he said, "Ez, I know you sign. Can you help?" So I sort of rushed over to his house and we did some work on it. And then a couple of weeks later, I got the script and I looked at it and went, I know this.
Yes.
Strange.
I've
read this before. Mm-hmm. So I had some idea about it. So when I actually went in to do my casting, I knew the script quite well. And I read with a couple of other actors, and then I got called back to read with TJ. And we did our audition. And then I remember both of us went out and then came back in again. And we were like, actually, can we try that one more time? Because I really think we can nail it. Just give us one more go. And we did. And I think we nailed it.
Yes.
We did quite well with it. And
yeah. Well, clearly.
we ended up in the film, which was great. And working with him was just amazing. We actually rehearsed the scene over Skype because, I mean, anyone who's seen the film knows that it's actually the scene takes place over Skype
yes.
between he and I. And we actually rehearsed it that way. So any time that we could get to the internet and do it, yeah. like rehearse, he was up in, I don't know, somewhere in North Queensland filming something. And I was in Melbourne visiting someone. And we just, you know, open up the computer and, okay, go. We've got an hour. Let's rehearse.
Amazing.
And so it just, it made it a lot easier than when you got on set to sort of go for it.
And you, I remember you telling me that you, when you were filming those scenes, that you were kind of in separate rooms.
Yeah.
Live, but yeah, so you weren't kind of filming separately. You were kind of being filmed.
No, it was all it was all live. So it was in the one building. So they had a partition kind of between the office set that I'm in and the bedroom or, you know, the bedroom set, I suppose, that he's in. There was a dividing wall between. So we could open and shut the door. He could hear kind of what was going on. So we could hear them call action and all that sort of stuff. But they had cameras in both rooms and they just kind of went, okay, go. And we did. And he would actually dial in on Skype and I would actually answer on Skype. It was all like technologically brilliant and wonderful. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, knowing you well, you...
it's quite... I'm scared. What are you going to say?
It's kind of... I feel like it's easy to embarrass you.
Have I gone bright red already?
You started to. So the content of the film is, you know, this guy this guy kind of calling in and wanting to talk to a dirty, you know, a dirty sex line. Mm. And so watching you on the big screen be so embarrassed was so delightful.
Thank you.
Because I felt like there wasn't much acting going on. You were just, you were so embarrassed. And the cover of the DVD is you kind of mimicking or simulating fellatio.
Oh, yep. I'm just, Oh, wow. Okay, my cheeks. Thank you, John. Yes, it actually was. There wasn't much acting going on in some of those moments because it genuinely is quite difficult.
Yeah.
And some of the signs in Auslan that I've been using are very graphic. Like it's very, very gestural language.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Was there much giggling going on? Like, did you have to stop a few times and just
There was definitely giggling, especially actually with Genevieve Hegney. She went, who was reading the sex line worker.
Yes.
Who we were calling into. Some of the stuff that came out of her mouth just like.
So was she kind of improvising?
Lot of it, yeah. Right. I mean, Josh had a very tight ship that he was running and he had his script, you know, very well detailed and everything, but he gave us a little bit of leeway to play with. And she would change up what she'd say occasionally and oh my goodness, some of the and I then had to interpret them. Which was horrific.
I love it. Now, well, good luck on your award nomination.
Thank you.
The awards are drawn on January 29th.
Yes, they are. Yes. At a function at the Star Event Centre.
Are you attending?
I am.
Yes. There's... And have you got a frock?
No, I haven't. But we're getting tight now, so I kind of need to hurry up and think about that.
Yes.
I really shouldn't leave these things to the last minute. My mother tells me I shouldn't, and I do every time.
Well, I think I speak on behalf of lots of people when I say congratulations
Thank
on the
you.
Award nomination. And it's just so wonderful to see someone who's worked so much in the theatre kind of cross into another genre of performance. And it's important that, I feel like it's important that theatre actors are also looked at for film work. And you're an example of how good that film work can be because you got nominated for an award. Now, look, you're editor-in-chief of the very website that produces this podcast.
That's true.
AussieTheatre.com. For people that don't know, what does being editor-in-chief of AussieTheatre.com entail?
Wow, okay. There's a whole thing.
It's a big question.
for me, it's about... My husband and I manage the site together. He's co-director and kind of does the digital side of things and builds all sorts of things when I ask him to, you know, I want this. Okay. I want to do a podcast. Okay. but it, for me, it kind of is managing the team that we have that write for us, all the wonderful writers that we have.
All over Australia.
Now, it's also about choosing the content.
Yes.
Often that goes on. I read everything and edit everything. We liaising with publicists, liaising with artists, conducting interviews, writing it all down,
monitoring
the traffic, monitoring the content that is popular at the time. It's really, it's always in a state of flux, you know, what people actually want to read and what things that really work for a certain period of time people get, you know, bored of and you have to think of something else. It's a constant job, which is all very well and good when you have nothing else to do, but when you're working in a show 8 times a week as well, it's a really heavy workload.
How has it changed? Because you know, I feel in the last few years since you and Matt, wonderful Matt Edwards, took it over, your now husband, it's changed. The site's really evolved and it's changed and it's gotten bigger and it really has become, you know, the one-stop shop in terms of what's going on in the Australian theatre industry. It's on my favourites toolbar at the top of my computer. And I'm not the only one, you know. Did you guys want to change it and evolve it when you took it over? And has it kind of become what you thought it would be, or is it different?
Yeah, we definitely wanted to change it. It was run initially by a guy called Troy Dodds, who wasn't actually part of the industry. He was very good friends with people who were in the industry, and it ran more like a tabloid site. And when Matt and I took over, I'd been involved in doing stuff with the site for a while, and Matt has the skills in the digital realm that I don't really, and I have the writing, you know, side of things. And we took it over and really wanted it to become more for the industry, by the industry kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And we did a business plan and kind of looked at what it is that we wanted to achieve. And yes, some things we have definitely done exactly what we planned. Other things just kind of pop up out of the blue and we decide, oh, this would be great. Like the Australian recordings page that we have on the site, which is just a big database of all on iTunes, anyone who's in the industry that we know of that have put out albums, we just add them onto this page. And it was something we came up with just randomly on a Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. And by Saturday afternoon, he'd built it. He's incredible.
You both are. You both kind of achieve more than most. I said this in your in your wedding speech.
You were our celebrant and married us.
I know. You're the second guest that I've married. I married Lucy Durack and Chris Horsey, and I married Erin James and Matt Edwards. But I did say, I think somewhere along the lines, you achieve, as a couple, you achieve more than most in less time than most. And I don't know. You two are kind of, you function on a different frequency. You don't sleep.
We also don't sleep. Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Yeah. What's the best thing about running the site?
I think there are lots of things that are, I don't think I can actually say what the best thing is, but there are lots of benefits personally and professionally. I think there's lots of things that I love being involved. I love knowing how things are going and what's happening, and I really enjoy that. So really it's a selfish thing for me.
That's okay.
I love what's going on.
Yeah.
And I think it's also good that the best thing about it in another way, I suppose, is that people know that they can trust us and that we produce good quality stuff. And I think that it's kind of made us known to people that we wouldn't have been introduced to otherwise.
Yeah.
And that's a wonderful thing.
You know,
being able to meet new people. And oh my God, the amount of people that I've interviewed over the years, you know, it just baffles me that the caliber of the people I get to speak to on a regular basis is just phenomenal. And I it's kind of weird for me sitting here opposite you. I'm usually in your chair asking the questions.
I know.
I'm going to have to come back and do this podcast and ask you the questions one day.
Okay, deal. We'll do that. We'll do that. And what's it like working with Maddie, your husband?
It's great.
Yeah.
I have to say that, right?
Yeah. No. Well, I mean, you know, it must be challenging at times. Yeah.
No, it is. Yeah. But it's really good because we understand each other so well.
Yeah.
And sometimes he trails off in the middle of sentences and I know exactly where he's going.
Yeah.
So we just kind of get on with it. I think in terms of working with Aussie theatre stuff, it means that we can discuss it when it's like kind of in the front of our mind. It doesn't have to wait until the next board meeting or whatever. Like, not that it runs our lives. It kind of runs our lives, but it doesn't completely. And, you know, we do try and talk about it and compartmentalize it a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit more than we used to. It was all encompassing to begin with.
Yeah.
And I admit that, and I'm sorry, Matthew. I'm sorry, Mum. Every time I go home, I just open the computer on the kitchen table and Mummy's like, oh my God, Erin, really? Can you just stop for a minute? I can't. There's a press release that just come out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So No, it's wonderful working with Matt. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Maddie. Now, look, speaking of going home, you were born and raised in Newcastle.
I was.
So tell me about how little Erin James caught the, you know, performing bug and what she did to pursue a career as an actor, dancer, singer, writer, everything, because you can do everything.
Yes, I grew up in Newcastle, so I was born in a hospital that doesn't even exist anymore, the Royal Newcastle Hospital. Mm-hmm. I started tap, actually, was my first discipline.
Yeah.
I started tap dancing when I was 5. And I think it was partly because mum and dad didn't really know what to do with me. I was bored. Like, yeah. I was getting flighty and fidgety, and they decided they'd put that flighty fidgetiness into my tapping ankles. And I kind of went on to do ballet from that, and went to a performing arts primary school, auditioned for performing arts primary school, which was just
in Newcastle.
Magical. Yeah, it was called at the time the Broadmeadow School.
Yeah,
but it's now Hunter School of Performing Arts, where people like Ali Calder and Tom Hanley have come out of, and there's been a lot of people who've come through that that school. I think I was in the first intake.
Yeah.
Holy moly. of primary school anyway.
Yeah.
And then I went and did Young People's Theatre, which is somewhere where the wonderful Tyron Park and Marika Aubrey went through.
Yeah.
So we're all from Newcastle, all of us. And
you and Silverchair.
And me and Silverchair.
Maggie Kirkpatrick.
Yes,
she's
all
from
of
Newcastle.
Us.
Yeah.
It was in my blood from an early age.
Yeah.
And it wasn't something that I necessarily desperately wanted to do at 5, but I just really enjoyed it. I loved it. And tap has always been the thing that I just love to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just kind of happened.
Yeah.
It was infused from the start.
Oh, and then you went to Whopper, obviously.
Yeah.
Like so many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually did a year at the Con in Newcastle first.
Yeah.
And that wasn't really for me. I really enjoyed the musicianship of it.
Yeah.
And I studied classical piano, and I did high level musicianship and everything, and you know, but credential 6.4s just aren't my thing.
Yeah.
You know, so I went to Whopper instead.
Yeah.
And then came out of that in 2005.
Yeah.
And since then, kind of
haven't
back.
Stopped. Yeah. Yeah. And you do. I mean, one of the things I kind of notice about you, which, because I try to do it too, you do like to return back to Newcastle and offer your skills there at times too. I try and do the same thing coming from Perth. I go back and teach and masterclass and mentor and stuff. And so is that important for you?
Oh, it's so important. Yeah. I think the reason that I had such good training to start with was because people did that for me.
Yes.
So I definitely think that's important that I do that. And I went back recently to Newcastle, or last year, end of last year, to sing in a choir that, you know, was a high school choir that I used to sing in, like a regional one. Mm. And it was just the most magical thing. Like I didn't have anything to do with soloistic anything. It was just me standing with the past 25 years of members of this choir.
Yeah.
And it was just wonderful. Like I think that's really important, going back to your home and your roots and just, I don't know, giving back a bit.
Yep, I agree 100%. Yep, absolutely. Now look, that is the end of the questions. The hard stuff's over.
Oh, gosh, thanks.
So we're going to move on to the Ticket A42 test, which
you
know very well, you know. As I say to everyone, there are no wrong answers, 100% across the board. So let's kick off. The first question is called The Kid in A42, which obviously references the name of the show and the moment that I knew I wanted to be a performer. Lots of performers have a similar kind of moment. What was yours?
I was thinking about this actually when I was coming over to see you today. I'm not sure that I can pinpoint one at all, actually. I do remember some specific examples. There are a couple.
Yeah.
I remember that I went and saw David Atkins' show Dynamite at the Footbridge Theatre when I was a kid.
Yes.
I think I might have been 7 or 8. And I remember I was in the front row and I saw them tapping away. And at that time, I don't think I'd started ballet. I was just a tap girl.
Yeah.
And I remember watching their feet going, and I wanted to know what brand of tap shoe they were wearing.
Yeah.
And David Atkins stood up and stopped the performance and kind of pointed at me and was like, this girl wants to know why we've got drums on our feet. I think there must have been something going on, that there was something electronic happening with their tap shoes that was making a drum beat. I wanted to jump up and tell him, no, I understand. I know you're wearing tap shoes. I know. I'm a tapper too. And from that moment, I was like, oh, no, that they can do things in the theatre that, like, you can't really talk back to. That was really exciting for me as a 7-year-old. And I remember also seeing Les Mis when I was probably 10, I think, in London. That and Five Guys Named Mo.
Yep.
With my family when we did a big trip when I was a kid. And I still remember the lyrics to the end of the Five Guys Named Mo. They did like a sing-along thing at the end, and they fluttered down all these pieces of paper from the roof. I don't know how they did it, but there were all these pieces of paper with the lyrics of what we all needed to sing as the audience. And I still remember that moment, and I still remember like the feeling that gave me. So maybe there were maybe that was a moment.
That was a moment. Yeah.
But there's been a few over the years. Yeah. But I don't necessarily think either of them or any of them necessarily made me go, I want to do this from right now.
Yes.
But I think the combination of all of those things put together kind of made me realize that this is something that you can do.
For a job. Yeah.
But it was pieced together. It wasn't a
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which I tried not to think too much about it before I came in. Yeah. So I'm just spilling out my guts now.
No, that's good. I mean, it doesn't have to be. Yeah. Everyone's experience is different. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think those ones are probably the earliest moments. Anyway.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What's got you goat? What really gets to you, or one of the things that really gets to you?
Okay. Do you mean now, or just in life, or like what has got my goat right today?
Let's say today. Today. What's got you goat today?
Oh, actually, I don't think I should have asked that because I can't. I'm fine. Let's go with in general.
Okay.
What gets my goat? Actually, yes, there is one thing. I think that in Australian theatre, in the industry, and I'm getting quite serious now. This wasn't meant to happen.
Yeah.
I would like to see the swings in Australian musical theatre taken more seriously and given the recognition that they deserve. More than they are at the moment. That's what I think.
A wonderful what's got you goat. I'm going to say that's the best what's got you goat answer I've had in all of my guests. I have swung on shows, as have you.
Yes.
And it's bloody difficult and it's thankless sometimes. It's amazing sometimes. But swings, good swings are special people.
For those of you who don't know, a swing is somebody who sort of learns the ensemble, mostly the ensemble, sometimes supporting leads and leading roles, plots, their tracks, their entire everythings, and will replace any given person at any given time when they're ill or they're off the show or they're stepping into someone else's role. So it's something that's it's very close to my heart because I've done it quite a lot and obviously you as well, but I just think it's such an important integral part of a company in a musical.
Yep, in a musical, absolutely. Yeah. How do you think that change is made?
Ooh, that's a hard question. I guess it's education, maybe.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't know anything about what a swing was when I came out of Whopper.
Yeah.
And I suppose it starts with that. I suppose it starts with instilling in new members of the industry what the value of a swing is,
yes.
And that there should never be a stigma attached to being a swing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I always say to, I have young performers ask me often actually, like, should I swing? Do you think I should swing? You know, and I always say that I think that you should always, if you're offered a swing plot in any show and you've never done it before, it's worth doing once. And for some people, They don't like doing it and they don't want to do it again. But then other people really enjoy it.
You know. I remember Sharon Millichip telling me years ago that I think she swung in Cats. That might have been her first job as a swing in Cats. And she said she learnt so much. And my first swing job was in Cats as well.
Mine too.
Oh.
I swung Cats.
We're in a club.
I lasted 9 months and then I resigned from the show because my contract was up. but I said I didn't want to swing cats anymore. I found it, I really enjoyed it, and I think I was good at it, but I found it incredibly stressful.
I think I swung for 2.5 years.
Yeah, wow.
On cats. I've done it since then on other shows, but
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, you're very good at it.
I like how it makes my brain work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't stress either. Or the stress doesn't get the better of you. I think that's what makes a good swing is the stress levels, how you contain them, you know, because it can be very stressful, especially on cats, because we go on mid-show sometimes, often.
And there'd be limbs and tails flailing around. You don't want to step in the wrong spot or get worried about it. Yeah,
crazy. Now, very superstitious. We theatrical animals, sometimes cats, have rituals and superstitions we like to hold. Do you have any that you want to share with us?
I do have something that I do, and I didn't really know that I did it, actually, and I was thinking about it before, that once I have a plan of what my makeup does for a show, I can't change it. I don't, like, what it happens in previews, I think, that once I figure out what my makeup does, where, you know, what order I put things on, what colours I use, all that kind of stuff. If I change it, it's all sorts of problems. And I don't know I don't know what I think is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not, nothing's going to happen, but I still get nervous about the fact that I haven't done my makeup right.
Yeah.
No one can tell. They're sitting like metres and metres away.
Yeah.
But I feel different.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's something that I probably should try and crack that at some point, but.
I mean, well, at least it's consistent.
It is consistent.
Yeah. I have to brush my teeth. Like, I have to brush my teeth. Even if I've brushed them on, like, on a Wednesday, matinee day, for instance, when I don't get up till late and I have to be at work at midday, I might have only brushed my teeth an hour before I got to work. But I need to brush them again as soon as I walk into the building.
Careful you don't brush all the enamel off, John.
I know, the dentist said that. Tell me 5 things you can't live without.
I can't live without my phone. I hate saying that, but I just can't. My laptop.
Yep.
My husband.
Yep.
My family.
Yep.
And this baby spinach and feta dip. That this is terrible. It's the Black Swan brand.
Ooh,
oh my
yes.
gosh, it's so good.
Okay.
And every time that I go to the supermarket, I'll stock up. And Matthew comes home from work sometimes, and I've eaten a whole tub of it.
Amazing.
And often
Black Swan spinach and feta.
Yep.
I'm gonna get me some of
that. Oh, it's so good. Anyone who knows me and has spent time on tour with me in Australia.
Do you dip anything in it?
It's water crackers. Sometimes those Mission tortilla chips.
Yep.
Mostly water crackers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes other things if I can't find the water crackers. Bread.
Awesome. Any vegetables?
Oh, yes. Carrot.
Great. Celery.
Celery.
Yeah. Divertanti. Now, look, you've been around. You've seen some Divertantis, I'm sure. You may have thrown one or two. I doubt it. But are you willing to share with us a Divertanti story?
Oh. Oh, man.
The Tantier can remain nameless if they need to. No?
Oh, I can't. There are heaps. And I can't even think of any now. There are heaps.
Yeah.
Aaron, there aren't heaps. Stop using hyperbole. Okay.
Okay.
So... it's not really a tanty,
yeah.
But it was worthy of like, oh, come on, guys. It was worthy of a moment. Actually, he laughed about it afterwards. It was when we were doing cats in Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
And our
was I there or not?
No, I don't. Oh, no, you were there.
Okay,
you were
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
And our old Deuteronomy was up on a tire at the end of at the end of the
John
show.
Ellis.
What a beautiful John
I'm
Ellis.
I'm going to say his name.
Beautiful John Ellis was up on a tire, and the mechanics broke in the hydraulics broke in the in the tire, and he's supposed to come down and take his bow, with the cast at the end of the show after the tire kind of lowers to the floor, and it never happened, and so the cast kind of did their bows and. Did the rest of the show and ran off stage, and poor John Ellis is stuck in the middle of the Taipei Arena on a tire, and I think he was there for nearly half an hour.
Yeah, like, they had to. I distinctly remember standing backstage in a wing, pointing and laughing at him in his fury.
he was so cranky.
I was undressed and makeup off the whole bit. Like, I was ready to go, and he had they wouldn't bring him down until the audience had vacated.
And it's like, I don't know how many thousands of people fit in the Taipei Arena, but there were a lot of people there. And poor John, just he kind of waved to them all for a little bit because we had cameras and massive screens up at the side, and he was waving for a while. And I think actually he just kind of sat down and lay around the circular part of the inner part of the tire so no one could see him. It was and I don't think he was very impressed at the end of
it. I mean, I'm sure he could laugh about it.
Yeah. It wasn't really a tanty, but it was definitely a moment, and we all kind of were worried that we didn't want to mention it until he'd calmed down a little bit.
Hello, Johnny.
Hi,
we miss you. John lives in London, for people that don't know. Phone a friend. Who's your one-stop shop?
My mum.
Your mum. I met your mum at your wedding. She's gorgeous.
Yeah. I call her for everything. Mum is the kind of person who she's never been involved in the arts industry, really. She's a dietitian. She has never worked in the arts, but she just seems to know. And she just seems, I think that's what everyone says about their mothers, but
yes.
She's the person that I call for everything.
Yep. Amazing. Showbiz, showmate, show crush. We've all had them.
Yes.
You're kind of married to
to one of them.
Your ultimate one. Do you have any others that you're crushing on anyone?
Well, you can't help crushing on Bobby Fox and Blake Bowden.
Yeah.
Really.
Handsome. Hideous looking.
Yeah. Such a shame. They're so ugly.
They could never be blood brothers.
I reckon it's those two.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the moment. Yeah.
Which one plays which?
Blake plays Edward.
Yes.
And Bobby plays Mickey.
Yeah, good casting. Good casting. Genie in a bottle. Genie grants you three wishes. What are they?
Okay. My first wish would be that I would ask for more time. I know that sounds very strange, but I would.
Yeah.
I would just like another couple of hours, maybe another day in the week.
Yeah.
I don't know, something like that. A little bit more time. I feel like I'm always running just that little bit behind. And I'm sure everyone would answer like that, right?
I reckon you'd still be running behind because you just fill your week up more.
Yeah, maybe. I would really like the ability to blink and get somewhere quick, like that kind of like teleporting, but like Genie, kind of a bit like I Dream of Genie. I want to be able to blink and end up in New York. Thank you very much.
Amazing.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
And I reckon that's okay. I'm gonna go with just two.
Okay.
Can I give my next one to someone else?
Yeah, you and Doyce did that. We gave Mitchell Butel four.
Okay.
So whoever is interviewed after you will get four.
Okay.
Okay. I will remember that. Switcheroo, you get to ask me a question. I'll answer anything.
I want to know what this is. I think I broke it.
No,
I want to know what this is. It's for anyone who is curious, this is a red, what appears to be a mirror, but why?
Well, there's a story. Okay. So for people that don't know, the sound studio that we're coming to you from today is the Wicked Dressing Room. And Erin is sitting at my dressing room table at the Capitol Theatre, and I have a red mirror I have a red mirror because I have to shave my head bald to be in Wicked. I can't see the back of my head, but that little red mirror helps me see the back of my head in the reflection of another mirror in the bathroom.
Oh, wow, it's a whole thing.
Yeah, because there's nothing worse than a badly shaved head. And then when you picked it up, it was stuck to the table, right?
Yes.
Well, Christopher Pratt, who is our head of sound on Wicked, likes to randomly stick things of mine with tape, mic tape, to my desk. And I didn't know that was stuck to the desk, but my toothbrush has been taped, my coffee cup has been taped, my deodorant has been taped, and obviously taped the bloody mirror. So, and now the reflector thing has fallen out, which it always does. I should get a new one.
No, you should just glue it in. That's got history, that thing.
I know. Mm. Well, I hope to not have to shave my head in every show that I do.
Well, the mystery is solved. Thank you, John.
Well, there you go. Secret skill. Tell us a skill that you have that people might not know about.
I can wiggle my ears. I can wiggle both of my ears at the same time.
Can I see that?
Yeah. Well, you can't see one of them.
Amazing. Mm. I wish that we had vision.
I know. I'm sorry. I should have chosen something.
That's all right.
I can actually wiggle my ears.
Maybe Erin might incorporate it into one of her characters in Blood Brothers. That is my challenge to you.
I also pull the damn good monkey face.
Do that.
Mm, okay. We'll have to take a photo of this.
We will take a photo of that. Okay, accent and dialect. Tell me... what you're going to do after this interview in an accent and or dialect of your choice. I'll guess.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I'm going to go home, probably, and I'm going to probably put up some more articles on AussieTheatre.com, actually. Uh-huh. And I just love... I'm probably going to eat some more of that dip. Yeah. I've actually got half a carton open at home. And... I have to cook dinner tonight.
Fantastic. Well, that's English, Liverpool.
Liverpool. Yes.
Blood Brothers.
Yeah, it's actually, I find it really hard. Really, I have to really concentrate
on
that, actually, because I don't know why. I love accents and I love mimicry and that kind of stuff, but Liverpool, I just find really hard. I'm still working on it.
Is everyone in the same... No, not everyone's in the same dialect in Blood Brothers.
No, there are a couple of... Well, there's sort of different versions of Liverpool. There's sort of the upper class and the lower class.
Yeah.
Liverpool, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, well, we'll come and tell you if we think it's good.
Please don't judge me. I'm working on it.
Okay, we're coming to the end. This is called This or That, 30 questions, one-word answers. Here
just
we go.
One?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sweet or savoury?
Sweet.
Dog or cat?
Dog.
Tea or coffee?
Tea.
Mum or dad?
Mum.
Black or white?
White.
In or out?
In.
Up or down?
Up.
Left or right?
Right.
Walk or run?
Run.
Summer or winter?
Summer.
Sydney or Melbourne?
Sydney, I'm really sorry, Matthew. I'm really sorry.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Diamonds or pearls?
Diamonds.
Top or bottom?
Top.
Love or money?
Love.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Oh, if we're talking ice cream, I have to say vanilla, but in general, chocolate.
Okay. Salt or pepper?
Pepper.
Boxes or briefs?
Briefs.
Paper or plastic?
Paper.
Christmas or birthdays?
Oh, Christmas.
Kisses or hugs?
Hugs.
That was very sensual. Hot or cold?
Can I say lukewarm?
Uh-huh.
Lukewarm.
Okay. Boy or girl?
Girl.
Bad or good?
Good.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Wrong or right?
Right.
This is a new one. Mates or dates?
Oh, mates.
Yeah. Day or night?
Day.
His or hers?
Hers.
Me or you?
Me.
Yeah. All right. okay. Well, look, now we're just going to shamelessly plug everything that you are working on. So interject if you would like to. Mm-hmm. Erin James and some other wonderful Australian actors are opening in Blood Brothers at the Hayes Theatre from February 6. All ticket details are at hayestheatre.com.au, or you guys do have a Facebook page.
Yes, we do.
Uh-huh. The Little Death is available on DVD this month.
Yes, it
is.
Go
out and buy a copy.
You can buy it on iTunes, I think.
Yeah.
And also JB.
Who else is in it?
Lisa McCune, mm-hmm. TJ Power, Kate Mulvaney, Kate Box, Patrick Brummel, Damon Harriman, mm-hmm. Kim Gingell, Alan Jukes.
Cast of thousands.
Josh Lawson.
Yes.
Yep. Amazing.
And Kate is also nominated in the same category as you for the actors.
And we've got actually six nominations from the film.
Oh,
six.
What are they?
There's TJ, Patrick, Damon, Kate Box, Kate Mulvaney and myself.
Fantastic. Mm. Well, good luck to you all. The actors are announced on January 29 in Sydney at the Star. And yeah, we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
AussieTheatre.com is obviously the website. So go to their site to keep updated on everything Australian theatre. They have a Twitter and an Instagram page.
Yes, a Twitter page is at Aussie Theatre. Insta is at Aussie Theatre. And I'm pretty sure our Facebook page is / Aussie Theatre.
It's simple. It's simple and you remember
keep it. Keep it simple.
Erin James is on Twitter and Instagram.
Yes.
Erin E. James.
That's right.
Yes.
And E for Elizabeth.
E for Elizabeth. Oh, there we go. Mm. Didn't know that about you. If you would like to talk to me, John James O'Hara, Twitter and Instagram, and anything that we've spoken about on the site today is available at aussietheatre.com.au/ticketA42. And keep tweeting me and messaging me, and don't forget to use the hashtag ticketA42. We need to give a massive shout out to Chris Pratt. We already spoke to about him before, but he has organised this incredible sound equipment set up for us today. We love you, Christopher.
Thank you, Christopher Prankster.
Christopher Prankster, who's about to be married to Justine Pye.
Oh, yes, next month.
Yes. Oh. Beautiful, beautiful cast member of Wicked. Erin James, thank you so much for being my first guest of 2015.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
Signing off.
Bye.
This podcast was produced by Matt Edwards for AussieTheatre.com.